We believe in the working of the Lord in miracles. We have seen great signs, the performance of God's great work. We have seen the hand of the Lord do great wonders among us. We have been the recipients. But those things do not take the place of the anointed preaching of the Word of God. The West Coast Conference, there is a premium that has been placed year by year on the preaching of the Word. Brother Gary Howard is a man very well known among us. He's graced the pulpit at West Coast Conference more than one time, multiple times. He is celebrating 30 years of pastoring the same assembly. God has blessed him with a great and wonderful congregation. I remember, this is very personal, and I hope I will not embarrass him by saying it, but I remember when he came in a private conversation and said, "I am interested in drawing close to God. But I know what it will cost to really draw nigh to God." And he set his face, Brother Howard did, to draw nigh to God. And the cost has been tremendous. He has been tried. He and his good wife and their congregation have been tested by fire. It's unbelievable. But this man has walked through the fire, as did the Hebrew children, with the presence of the Son of Man with him. He is a friend of preachers. He is a friend of apostolics everywhere. And if there's one thing that will follow him into his forever, it will be that he was a mentor of young men and a deep lover and protector of the apostolic truth. I'd like for us tonight not to welcome Brother Howard to the pulpit with a charismatic hand clap, but rather with a lifting up of our voice and saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for sending us a man of God." Would you do that right now? Lift up your voice as Brother Howard comes to minister.
I'm very honored to be at West Coast Conference, and especially to be asked to minister the Word of the Lord before such a great assembly. So many fellow ministers of the gospel that I have the highest respect and love for, and it's always a privilege to be able to be with Elder Morton, a man that I esteem highly in the faith for his works, and of course my good friend Brother Garrett that just introduced me. I don't feel worthy of the things that he just stated to you, but I do have a desire to lift up the name of Jesus, to preach the truth, try to help somebody get to heaven. And I believe that's why all of us are here tonight. We have a desire to be saved. And that's the overriding purpose of us coming together. We used to sing, "Jesus getting us ready for that great day." And I believe we're still in the process of getting ready for that great day that is soon to come. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I too have been ministered to by the preaching of the Word. My wife and I tried to get here in time for service last night, but we didn't make it. And very sorry I didn't get to hear my good friend, Brother Copeland, preach. And that was our desire to be here for that. But I certainly have heard the reports and got a little synopsis of the message. And I intend to listen to it when I get a chance. But I heard the word preached today by Brother Bray and Brother Lackey. And I certainly appreciated it. Amen. The intensity, the fervor, the passion, the desire. I thank God for that. And I do not want to succumb to the spirit of pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And when a man is marked with pride, it's only a matter of time until the inevitable happens, except they repent. So I don't want to harbor or make a place in my life for that spirit. I feel very humbled in this place tonight. Since the last time I was here, God has done a lot of work on me. And I feel like He has made some changes in me. And I trust that it's for the better. Everything that happens to us in life is either going to draw us closer to God or away from God. It's either going to make us be more conformed into His image, or we will become more hardened in our spirit and heart, become more set in our own ways, in our own image. And I don't want that to happen. You never get to the place that you have it made, and that you can say you've arrived and I'm just going to coast on in to eternity. It doesn't work that way. But the devil has a trial for every stage of life, for every age group. And I used to marvel and think about the tremendous trials that I went through as a young person and a young man. But I have found the devil's got some for an older man that's just as powerful as he does for young men. So you know what that means? We all got to stay on our knees. Amen. I said we got to stay on our knees and stay close to God. I'm going to let you be seated. I'm going to talk to you for a little bit before I read my text and announce my subject tonight. And I do not want to be misunderstood. God knows my heart. I would not do anything to bring confusion or be a hindrance to the work of God. And what I feel that God wants me to preach about tonight is done strictly for the purpose of doing what I feel like God has asked me to do. And I want to be obedient to Him. And I want to give honor to the saints of God and to the ministry. I do not want to bring a reproach on the name of the Lord. But about more than a year ago, quite a bit more than a year ago, God began dealing with me and gave me a burden for some close ministerial friends of mine that were, all of them, suffering from various types of serious disease and infirmity in their body. And I began praying for these men, and this burden intensified. I shared with some of my friends that were suffering physical problems that I had a real burden for their healing. This has been on me for a long time. And I made a commitment to them that every time I pray, and God would bring it to my mind, and I was going to make it a very regular thing, that I was going to pray for their healing. And that I've tried to do. And some of them, thankfully, I've seen receive healing and help from God since that time. I'm not saying that it's anything I've done, but I'm just thankful that God is touching and helping. And that burden and desire has expanded. And it was during this time, more than a year ago, that God spoke to me. And I'm very cautious about saying this. And I know we've all heard this overused and abused until as soon as we hear somebody say, God spoke to me, all the antennas go up. And I understand that. And all I ask you for is just give me the benefit of the doubt for now, and we can all sort it out later. But I believe that God did speak to me. I know that He did. And told me that it was His desire to bring about a restoration of healing and miracles and signs and wonders in the apostolic movement. I made a commitment to God that wherever He opened a door and spoke to me and moved me in that direction, that I would preach this regardless of the cost or the price, understanding that there would be a certain amount of criticism. And I'm not bitter about that, because I understand where a lot of it comes from. It doesn't come from people necessarily that doesn't believe that or doesn't want to see that, but it is a result of so much misrepresentation and foolish things that men have done in the name of the Lord to bring aggrandizement and attention to themselves. And it's very awkward for me to be in the position that I find myself in tonight. God knows my heart. I do not want to bring any attention or honor or glory to myself. But I do want somehow or another in this service tonight to bring glory and honor to God. And I want to deliver what I feel God has put upon my heart. And since I began preaching this message, and I'm not preaching a repeat or something I preached somewhere else, but I'm talking about the message of God wanting to restore His power and glory to the church. Not that he's ever taken it away, but we do need a restoration in this area. And reinforcement, a revival. Could I say a revival of apostolic power and anointing? And I can say truthfully, honestly, and I can give examples, and it's credible. Many of these things have been verified by doctors and various types of medical reports. But we have seen God confirm his word many, many times in several different places. And recently in our own church, we've had several people healed of high blood pressure. Had a lady in my church that's had lupus for many, many years, and it had gotten very, very bad. She was unable to come to church much. When she came, she was on a cane, could barely make it into service. God touched her about 2 months ago, and she threw down the cane and began to dance in the Spirit. She's been dancing ever since then. And 2 weeks ago, the doctor's office called her and said, "You need to come in. We've got to wean you off of this medication. Our last test shows that you have absolutely no lupus in your body, and you don't need this medicine anymore." I thank God for that. But tonight I'm going to talk about the thing that is necessary for us to receive anything from God. And of course, you know what that is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything that comes from God must be received by faith. We're talking about faith for salvation. He that comes to God must believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You cannot even receive forgiveness of sins unless you believe that he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. Everything we receive from God, from salvation to any of his manifold blessings, comes to us by the exercising of our faith and belief in God and in his promises. Amen. But all of us struggle at times with faith. Jesus knew that would be the case. One of the things that he said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And I realized part of that faith would be truth, the body beliefs that we espouse and hold to. But it's more than just what we believe intellectually, but it's what we practice, who we are and what we are. And that faith must be alive when Jesus Christ returns. That's what he's looking for. And so there are all kinds of things that come against us and war against our mind and our spirit. And the world that we're a part of is structured in such a way as to destroy your faith and to cast doubt in your heart against the Word of God. And so constantly we must renew that faith. That's why we have church like this. This is why we preach the same things over and over and over. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. It's only by preaching the doctrine and repeating the doctrine that our faith remains vital and strong. That which is not preached will soon not be believed, and that which is not believed will soon not be practiced. So we must come back and preach it again and again and again. And when your faith is attacked and you come to the house of God and the word of the Lord is preached, your faith is reinforced and strengthened. Amen. And we can continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Prayer has been emphasized a lot in this conference, and I thank God for that. And that's very necessary, because you also can build up on your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. So I thank God for a venue such as this, where we have an opportunity to have our faith built by the preaching of the Word of the Lord, as well as by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you'd like to stand with me tonight, I want to take a text from the book of Mark, chapter number 9. I'll begin reading in verse 17. I have about 7 or 8 verses to read. Please be patient with me as we look at this together for a setting for what I feel like God desires for me to preach about tonight. The book of Mark, chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 17. When you find it, say, praise the Lord. And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I want to preach to this conference tonight on this subject, overcoming hindrances to faith. Overcoming hindrances to faith. Would you join with me in prayer one more time? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence, for your touch, for your anointing that's upon this congregation that's in this place tonight. I ask God that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the good word of the Lord, and that faith would be inspired, and that doubt and unbelief and fear would leave this place tonight. And God, that not only the word would be preached, but that you would confirm your word this night with signs following. I believe you, God, to do the work that you desire to do. And I release you by faith to work in a very special way in hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, we're apostolics. How many of you call yourself apostolic? Amen. I'm glad to be apostolic tonight. Amen. Due to overuse of a name that we chose for our church 30 years ago. And we started there, and we named our church New Life Pentecostal Church. Since that time, that name has proliferated. And there are so many New Life churches in the Tulsa area, it's unbelievable. And it doesn't even stop there. But there's New Life painting companies. There's New Life carpet cleaning companies. There's New Life, just you name it. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we had to do a church name change. We changed the name of our church to the Lighthouse Church. But one thing that we put with our logo, and I insisted from the beginning that this, any time that we use our logo, this is part of our logo, and I insist that it must be included on everything we put our name on, and that is that we are apostolic in doctrine and Pentecostal in experience. That raises a lot of eyebrows, because that certainly distinguishes us from the generic church. Amen. We are apostolic, and we're proud of it. We're not ashamed of it. Amen. We believe as apostolics that if the Bible says it, that's just the way it is. We're not trying to explain it away. We're trying to figure out how to understand it and how to initiate it, how to obey it. Amen. We're not running from truth. We are embracing and following after truth. So as apostolics, we are defined not only by what we believe, but also by our practices. Amen. And one of the things that distinguishes us from many nominal Christian groups is the fact that we believe in the miraculous and we believe in the supernatural. We don't just talk about it. We believe in it. That's part of who we are. Amen. And in the early days of Pentecost, and I know the old timers are passing away. There's very few that could even link back to this time area that I'm referring to. But I've had the privilege of knowing many old timers and talk to them and hear them tell their stories, not only personally, but in meetings in various places. And the stories abound of the healing power of God and how somebody, maybe a little preacher would come and pray for somebody that was on their deathbed. And these people were not even believers, but God would heal them supernaturally, many times instantly, and the entire family and many in the community would come into truth because of the miracle working power of God. There's probably people here tonight that can link back to the reason you're in the church, because one of your people on up the line, a grandparent or somebody, may have had a similar experience as this. And so there was a time when healing, divine healing and miracles was talked about a whole lot more than it is today. And we saw a whole lot more of it. And I suppose that one of the reasons that that we don't hear as much about it today now that we're living in is because we have relatively easy access to medical marvels and the medicine and the various things, the interventions that are available to us. I'm not here to preach against anything tonight. I'm going to preach for something. Amen. And oftentimes when we desire to see the power of God manifested in our midst, and when we need a miraculous intervention from God for ourselves or one of our loved ones, we struggle with unbelief. And when I'm preaching tonight, I'm not talking about healing only. Amen. But we're living in a day and hour that's filled with doubt, skepticism, and cynicism. And it's very, very difficult sometimes to overcome all the spiritual opposition that comes against us. And so in this message that I feel to preach to you tonight, amen, I want to help you believe God for the miraculous. Amen. I want to help somebody overcome the hindrances to your faith. Praise God. Because I want us to be able to enjoy everything that God has for us as an apostolic movement. And our scripture text here tonight, and I won't spend a whole lot of time just trying to break it down. I just want to look at a couple of things here that I think we all can relate to that will help us tonight. But I presented to you the story of a man that to me is a textbook case of what I want to preach about tonight. And it's a man that really had faith in God. And yet at the same time, there was a part of him that struggled with some of the same struggles that we struggle with. He had a son that was long time possessed with a spirit of infirmity. And apparently the son is now perhaps in his manhood years. And because when Jesus asked him how long, he said of a child. And so this is a situation that has been long term. It has been going on for years. I don't know how long, but for years. And the Bible says that it was a spirit of infirmity. And whenever this spirit would move on this young man, it would throw him down and he would wall around. And we could speculate on various things. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But as this son was brought to Jesus, Jesus asked him about the condition and how long it had been. And this father began to explain the severity of his son's illness and how that there were times that when the spirit moved upon him, he literally tried to kill himself by throwing himself into the fire or into the water. And so there seemed to be some suicidal tendencies involved with the bondage and infirmity that this man had. And Jesus spoke to this man. He said, listen to me. Do you not realize and understand that all things are possible to him that believeth? If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And this father of the child cried out and said with tears, I can see it now. We're talking about a man that has suffered for years. A man filled with anxiety, a man filled with anguish, a man filled with disappointment and pain. And he comes as to Jesus just hoping that there's something he can do to help him because no one else can help his son. And he comes to find Jesus, and that's when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And the other nine disciples prayed for his son, and nothing happened. What we're dealing with tonight is a man that had enough faith to bring his son for healing. But the disciples, the Bible did not put the blame on the man. But it said the disciples were not able to help the young man with this infirmity. And now we have a man that is struggling with unbelief. And I think it comes out of a sense of disappointment. His hopes were so high. He had heard of the miracle working power of Jesus. He had heard of the many miracles. Perhaps friends of his had been to meetings and places where Jesus was. And he had seen the results and the evidence of the touch of the Master's hand. And so here he came expecting a miracle. But I'm going to tell you, the longer that you put up with something and the more times that you got prayed for and nothing happened, the harder it is to get your faith back up to ask God again for the same thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. And all of us have experienced at some time or another what it's like to have your faith disappointed. And so that's what this man was struggling with. And I want you to notice how deeply he felt about this, how passionate he was, how honest he was. And I think honesty takes us a long ways with God. Amen. One thing we want to do before we leave here tonight, amen, is just open ourselves up and be transparent to God and be transparent to one another. There's nothing to be gained, amen, by putting up a false front. We all need help from God. We all struggle with things. We all have disappointments and heartaches and things that we need an answer for. Let's just go ahead and acknowledge it tonight. But I can see him. I'm a father. I know what it's like to see a child of yours suffering. I remember as a young man when my children got sick. Oh, such a hideous feeling to know that your child is sick, especially when you seem like there's nothing you can do to help them and you're trying everything you know to do. And so I can see this man standing before the Lord, disappointed but still hopeful. And Jesus said, sir, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears streaming down his face, sobs rocking his body, can scarcely pull himself together enough to answer. But with voice breaking, he says, Lord, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? Tonight, I'm preaching to many people that can relate to this father. I'm preaching to many people tonight that are wrestling with similar issues. And you came looking for answers. And I believe that God has an answer for you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I'm starting to feel what I wanted to feel when I walked up here tonight. I'm feeling that anointing and that power. And I'm feeling the Spirit of God begin to move in this place. And I feel faith already being ignited in some people's hearts. And I believe through the preaching of the word tonight that somebody's going to overcome some obstacles. Some people are going to reach beyond some hindrances. And you're going to get a hold of faith tonight that's going to take you right into the very presence of Almighty God. And you're not going to walk out of here disappointed again. But you're going to receive something that you desired from God for a long, long time. Let's reach out to him right now in prayer and faith and ask God to honor his word in this house tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Give us liberty tonight, God. I bind every spirit of unbelief. I bind every spirit of doubt, every spirit of fear. I take authority over you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak faith in Jesus' name. Let faith arise in our hearts and lives tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's not be spectators tonight. Let's be participators. Let's be facilitators of what God wants to do in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to be seated. I'm going to slow down just for a minute because there's some things that I feel to tell you that you need to know. Because if you get a hold of what I'm fixing to tell you, it's not going to take anything away from what you're feeling tonight. It's going to add to it. It's going to build upon your most holy faith. Amen. Because I'm going to try by the help of God to give you some answers that will help you overcome hindrances to your faith. There's two key areas that I want to deal with tonight. And I want to start out by just simply talking about what faith is. Amen. And I want to state that faith is not complex. Faith is very, very simple. Amen. I've heard a lot of teaching and preaching on faith, and the further it got, the less I understood. But I've come to realize that faith is not complex at all. Amen. Even a child can understand faith. Amen. Anybody can get a hold of it. Amen. So let's talk about faith. And I believe the best definition of faith as applied to what I'm preaching tonight is found in Hebrews 11 chapter and verse number 6. And it simply reads, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now that sounds like a negative thing, but it's not. Because it goes on to say, for he that cometh to God. It doesn't matter if you're coming to God for salvation, if you're coming to God for deliverance, if you're coming to God for healing, if you're coming to God to provide a need that you have. He that cometh to God must believe two things. That he is, and that he is. of them that diligently seek Him. It's very, very simple. I purposely did not start at Hebrews 6 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. I would rather start right here because this is the essence of what faith is. Whatever you're coming to God for, you must believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Anybody can get a hold of that. Anybody can understand that. That's not complex. That's not out here somewhere. Amen. That's not some concept out here that you're trying to get a hold of. But that's right down here where we can get a hold of it. You come to God believing that He is what He said He is. He is who He said He is. He can do what He said He can do. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I've got one thing I want you to put in your mind tonight and never forget it. And I'm taking this from Hebrews 11 and 6. He that comes to God must believe that He is. I want you to understand tonight that statement simply means that God is able to do what He said He would do. And I want you to repeat with me tonight, God is able. Now I want you to say it with feeling. God is able to do what? Anything. Anything. Anything He's promised, He can do that and more. My God is able. Get a hold of that. Come on, tuck it down in your heart. Get a hold of it. Don't ever turn it loose. I don't care what you're facing. The first thing you need to remind yourself, God is able to take care of this problem. Oh, hallelujah. Quit glorifying your problem and start glorifying the problem solver. Quit glorifying your disease and start glorifying the healer. Quit glorifying, amen, the disappointment in your life and look unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. One more time before you're seated, cry out, God is able. Thank you, you can be seated. What I'm simply saying to you tonight, you must believe that God is who He said He is. And you must believe that God will do everything He said He would do. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father. The King eternally. Do you believe He is who He said He is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Do you believe that whatsoever you ask in His name, in faith believing, He said, I will do it for you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Please be seated. God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. Told him something so fantastic and unbelievable that Moses was overwhelmed. When he thought about the message that God told him to deliver and where he was to go deliver it, and before whom he was supposed to declare these things, he knew, hey, this better be God or I'm in trouble. And he said, God, if you want me to do that, I need some credentials. When I go before the elders of Israel, they're going to say, who commissioned you? Who sent you? Who told you these things? And God said, I'll tell you what you answer to them. You say, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. What does that mean in practical terms? In essence, he was saying, I am who I said I am. And therefore, I am whatever you need me to be. I am that I am is wide open.
It's not restricted. It's not narrowed down. Oh, hallelujah. When you get a revelation of who He is and of His power and greatness, you realize and understand that my I am covers any situation. Praise God. When you talk about the compound names of God as revealed in the Old Testament, all it was an extension. There's a little segment of what God told Moses when He said, I am that I am, have sent you. He was revealing to Moses the fullness of His greatness and power. But when they came into a particular situation or circumstance that was bigger than they were, that was overwhelming, God would reveal to them one little segment of His power, and He would give them a name to identify that particular aspect of God by. And so when they had no food, God provided for them. And He said, in the future, when you come to a similar situation where you have to have provision, and there's no way you can take care of it yourself, and there's no one else that can help you, just remember that a part of I am that I am is Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. Woo! Jesus further expounded on that same principle, and He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still Jehovah Jireh. My provider. Woo! I feel Him in this place right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Have you ever been in a situation where your life is filled with chaos, confusion, and turmoil? Amen. There's trouble on every hand. It seems that hell has arrayed itself. Amen. And it's coming against you from every direction it can. There's not a peaceful moment. Amen. There's not a peaceful time during the day. And you're tormented at night. That's when you need to be introduced to another aspect of I am that I am. And that is that He is our peace. Amen. Jehovah Shalom. Amen. I am your peace. Oh, hallelujah. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I want to preach to somebody tonight. If you will call on the Prince of Peace tonight, He can bring peace into your life. He can bring peace into your family. He can bring peace into your marriage. He can bring peace to you on the job. He can bring peace to you, amen, in whatever situation you're in. Because when the Prince of Peace comes on the scene, He takes charge. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As they were leaving Egypt, there were people of all ages in various states of being or well-being or health, and some not in so good a health. What are we going to do about this? How do we move all the folk that are infirm? How do we get them from Egypt to the promised land? How do we get the feeble, the aged? God revealed Himself again. He said, I am that I am. Let me show you just a little part, He said, of what that means. He said, there's not going to be one feeble one among you. And if you will obey me and my commandments, I will put none of the diseases of the Egyptians upon you. For I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. God is still a healer. I said He's still a healer. Jehovah Rapha. It's good to know when you're sick that I am is a healer. I am that I am is kind of general. It's kind of vague. But I can understand Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer. Shout with me right now, Jesus is my healer. Please be seated. We used to sing a song, Jesus is the healer. The world don't believe it, but Jesus is a healer, and He heals all the time. He heals the sick. He raised the dead. There's no need to fear or dread. Jesus is a healer, and He heals all the time. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. So I want to ask you something tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is? And do you believe that he's able to do what he said he would do? Do you believe that he is who he said he is? And do you believe that he can do what he said he would do? Now we either need to start believing that or we need to take down our shingle. That's what it means to be a believer. I believe in Jesus. I believe in his power. I believe he's working in the church. I believe in the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. I believe that he forgives sins. I believe he delivers people that are bound. I believe through his name we can cast out devils. I believe he heals sick bodies. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's what it means to be a believer. So do you believe he is who he said he is? He's able to do what he said he would do. Praise God. Brother, you right there on the third row with the hair about the color of mine, would you please stand? Speak to me loudly. What is your name? Ron Amaya. Amaya. What is your occupation? A city traffic engineer. Okay. Now, I don't know you. So if I'm going to believe you, I have to take you at your word. Okay? Now, as a man to a man, I wish I could get down there and meet you, but I don't have time to work my way down there and work my way back up. Come on up here closer to me where I can talk to you. Thanks for helping me out. So you're a traffic engineer. Okay, so you help engineer traffic flow and all that kind of stuff. Okay, very responsible position, I'm certain. You don't get credit for what you do right, but you get blamed for everything that goes wrong. Kind of like a sound engineer. As long as they're doing their job, nobody looks back there. But if there's a microphone squeals, everybody turns. What is he doing back there in that sound booth? Oh, he's sleeping. He's twirling knobs. He was tired of nobody noticing him. He just wanted everybody to look at him for a while. And brother, if I was to meet you as I am right now, and I said, you told me what you are, and I said, you know what, I don't believe that. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, I believe you're a bald-faced liar. I don't think you know anything about traffic engineering. I believe if you got out on the road, you'd get run over. I don't think you got enough sense to know how to stay out of the traffic. I wouldn't do that to this good man, but I'm giving you an illustration. I asked the man what he is, and he told me, you know what? There was not a question mark or doubt in my mind. I didn't sit here wondering if he's a traffic engineer, if he can do this or not. I believe he can. Sure. In fact, things get pretty hectic around here tonight. I may have to have you help us direct traffic. Can you do that? Or can you line our men out how to do it and you can supervise them? All right. Thank you, Elder. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. What I'm trying to illustrate to us tonight is if we can meet a total stranger. Now, this man is in the church. It's obvious from his spirit he's a brother. So I'm on real, real safe ground. But if you're on the airplane, you sit down with somebody, and you get to talking, and you say, what do you do? And they say, well, I'm in the construction business. And I have a construction company. And we talk with him at business. We don't insult him. We don't tell him, I don't know if you are or not. I'll tell you where I came from. To do to somebody what I just did to this brother, you'd end up with a black eye and a flat nose. You don't just do that to people. Why do we have so much trouble believing that when God says, I will deliver, I will heal, I will provide all your needs? Why do we have so much trouble believing God? Unbelief is a sin. Israel committed fornication. Israel committed idolatry. Israel grumbled and complained. But for none of these things did he tell them, you cannot inherit the promised land. But when they came to the borders and they said, we can't do this, even though that's what God had brought them out of Egypt and brought them to this moment, God swore in his anger that you will not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Amen. One of the greatest sins in the church today is unbelief. And we excuse it. We try to explain it away. But But before some of you receive what you need from God tonight, you need to repent of the sin of unbelief. I'm telling you, it's a spirit. It'll get a hold of you. Amen. It will begin to identify who you are. It will begin to define your character. It will begin to define you as a person. We don't need that. We need to be defined and identified as people of faith. I don't want that hung on me. I don't want to hang it on myself. If I am guilty and I have been a disbelieving God, I want to repent of it. Praise God. So tonight, if we can accept the word of a man, surely, we can believe what God has said about himself. So what we've been talking about up to now is this one simple truth. God is able. You haven't forgotten that, have you? The second thing, which is every bit as important, and probably even more important than believing that God is able. Because I would think in this vast congregation tonight, we'd be hard pressed to find two or three people, if that, that would say, I don't believe that God can do anything. So our real struggle is not in this area of believing what God is able to do. We believe in God's greatness. We've seen enough, felt enough, heard enough that we know all about that. But here's the area that I personally feel that the devil beats us up with and hurts our faith the most. And that's the second part of Hebrews 11 and 6. If it comes to God, must believe that he is. And if you would think about it, he is. I'm not going to spend any more time on this. We're just going to make this one statement. He said, believe that he is. What does that mean? Believe that he is who he said he was. Who did he say he was? I am. Isn't that a form of the same verb? That's another tense of I am. He is. I am. He said, I am. We say he is. That's simply saying amen to what God said about himself. So he that comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? He is the I am. He is who he said he was. He's able to do what he said he would do. That's what you're doing when you come to God in faith. As you believe that he is the I am that can do anything and be anything. Have you got that? How many feel you've got that down? I know I'm belaboring the point. This is very, very important. But here's where we stumble. The second part is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Please bear with me in my folly. But to me, what that is saying is, not only must I believe that he is the I am, and in particular, he is what it is that I need him to be, but I must also believe that he is willing. God is able, and God is willing. I know if I had to have $10,000, my good friend, Brother Ron Garrett, could come up with $10,000. We just call him Money Badge, us close friends. And I know he could help me out. I know he's able. How many believe he's able? Do you believe he's able, Brother Greg? But you know what you're having a problem with? We don't know if he's willing, do we? That's the problem. Not is he able, but is he willing? And that's where we stumble. We come before a God that we know is able, but we come with a great big question mark in our mind. Is he willing? But when you come to him in faith, you believe not only that he is, but you also know with assurance that if you will diligently seek him, he's going to reward you. Because you already know that he's willing before you ask him. Most do not have so much trouble in believing in the ability of God, but we often question the willingness of God. Too many people are unsure about God's will. And I'm going to tell you something. It's impossible to believe when you are uncertain about God's will. I'm going to say that again. It's impossible to have the kind of faith that I'm preaching about tonight when you're not sure whether it's God's will or not. Here's what happens. Our uncertainty causes us to vacillate when we pray. We start out bold. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this sickness. And then that thought hits us. What if it's not God's will? And we say, if it be your will. We cancel out our own prayer by our vacillation. Either we believe it or we don't believe it. You can't have it both ways at the same time and get the result that you're after. Uncertainty will cause us to waver. James spoke of it in his epistle. And he said, but let him ask in faith nothing wavering. Everybody say wavering. The word waver means to stagger or hesitate. When you ask God for anything, if you stagger or hesitate, the devil's going to steal your faith from you. He's going to cancel your prayer. He's going to negate what you started out to believe and ask God for. Stick with me. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now this is not me. I'm reading to you from the word of the Lord. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God doesn't want you coming to him wavering back and forth. Will he do it? Will he not do it? Is it his will? Is it not his will? Back off and settle in your mind that it's the will of God, and then come before the throne of grace with faith, with assurance, with certainty in your heart that it is the will of God to perform his word. When somebody's sick, I always pray with the expectation of God healing them. Unless God reveals to me that it's a sickness unto death. And he has done that on several occasions. I've even had people ask me, and I've had was forced to tell them that I believe this is a sickness unto death. You need to get ready, amen, to make sure everything is right. But otherwise, I pray, amen, with intensity and desire and with the assurance that it's God's will to heal, because he is Jehovah Rapha. His own personal ministry speaks loudly that it's God's will to heal. If it was only his will to heal some, why did it say again and again and again when he was preaching to multitudes that he healed all of them? They brought the sick and diseased from all around the countryside. He healed all of them. If it wasn't his will to heal everybody, he would have only healed part of them. Somebody's got to get that out of your mind. That's the one thing the devil's using to rob you out of the miracle that God wants to give you tonight. You're just going to have to bear with me because I got to finish this. Amen. If you get excited and want to shout a while, we'll shout a while, but I'm going to finish this. Because I believe God wants me to get this word out tonight. Amen. This is not a service where we need to shout it out. We need to hear the word of the Lord and then allow the word of the Lord to take effect and allow God the opportunity to confirm his word. And if somebody gets healed while I'm preaching, that's fine. That's happened several times in the last few months. Amen. If people said, I don't even know when it happened, but I just realized that I was healed. I wasn't hurting anymore. The condition was gone. And that's biblical. That can happen while the word of the Lord is being preached tonight. If salvation message being preached, amen, people, amen, can receive the word and receive the Holy Ghost while the word's being preached. People can be healed while the word's being preached. There was a leper that came to Jesus seeking to be cleansed of his leprosy. Just a few years ago with Elder Wheeler, which I think is in the congregation somewhere here tonight. Is Elder Wheeler in the house? There you are. There's my good friend on the far side there. He took me by a leper colony in Manila. And I'll tell you what, it was a real experience. I'd heard about it, read about it, talked about it, but that's not like seeing it. If I was a leper, I would be looking for healing, for anyone that could help me. And this leper came to Jesus, and the Bible simply says in Matthew 8, chapter verse number 2, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, he didn't say if you are able. But he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He came because he knew Jesus was able. But he came with the same question in his mind that many of us have come many, many times. And that is, I know he's able, but is he willing? And he said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. preaching to you tonight that God is willing. He's able. He's willing. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Another version of the same passage of Scripture reads thusly. Once a leper came and knelt in front of Him and begged to be healed. If you want to, you can make me well again, he pled. And Jesus, moved with pity, touched him and said, I want to be healed. Another translation reads thusly. Jesus answered him and said, of course I want to. I want to tell somebody tonight that it's the Father's good pleasure to give to His children. Of course He wants to. Of course He's willing. How do I know He's willing? Because His promises tell me that He's willing. Listen to me carefully. I've come to realize that it's not nearly as important for me to believe the promises of God as it is for me to believe in God. What do I mean by that? My trust is not in a promise He made to me. My trust is in Him, who He is, what He is. And if you don't have faith and trust in Him, His promises are meaningless. But when you believe in Him, whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life. Woo! Get your promises anchored in Jesus Christ. He's already demonstrated that He loves us. He's already demonstrated He's a healer. He's already demonstrated He's a deliverer. He's already demonstrated that He can do anything that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So our confidence tonight is rooted in Him. It's centered in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in this house tonight, and it's His nature to deliver. It's His nature to save. It's His nature to heal. It's His nature to do good things for people. So anywhere He is, anytime you're in His presence, anything wonderful can happen. Oh, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Let me take you another step further. If I was preaching the message of salvation tonight, and I would trust that somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost here tonight, because you don't have to preach about the Holy Ghost in order for somebody to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because when faith gets stirred up, all kinds of things can and will happen. I said all kinds of things can and will happen. But if I made an appeal for salvation tonight, and somebody came down here and repented their sins, was crying unto God, I'm praying with them to get the Holy Ghost. I don't pray and say, God, if it's your will, give this person the Holy Ghost. Why do I not pray that way? Do any of you men pray that way? If we prayed that way, nobody would get the Holy Ghost. That's a statement of unbelief. But we pray expecting everyone that comes sincerely, obeying the plan of salvation, to get the Holy Ghost, because we believe that God is able to fill with the Holy Ghost, and we believe that it's His will that none should perish. It's His will that everybody gets the Holy Ghost. It's His will that everybody be saved. I don't have to pray for salvation for people. If it be God's will, I know it's His will. That's the kind of faith that I'm talking about that we need to get a hold of in other areas of our life. And that is, we pray with expectation because we know that God is willing. He's willing to save. He's willing to supply our needs. He's willing to deliver. He's willing to hear. Oh, let's give God thanks. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I love it when I feel unbelief leaving. I love it when I feel faith building, because I know something good's fixing to happen. I know God's not going to disappoint us tonight. I know that God is going to do what He said He would do.
You can be seated. This is part Bible study. This is part preaching. I want to make sure that everybody here understands that God is able and God is willing. How many of you feel like you got a little better grasp on what faith is? It's simply believing that God is who He said He was and can do what He said He would do, and that He's willing to do it. He wouldn't say He was going to do it if He wasn't willing to do it. Why would He tease us? Why would He lie to us? Why would He say, here, have it, and then pull it back? Why would He be beaten with stripes 39 times and say, but I'm just kidding. Some people I want to heal, some people I don't. Hallelujah. Now you think you got a hold of that? God is able and God is willing. Here's the second part. Here's the second part. This won't take as long as the other, but we need to put this on the tail end of this to pull it all together. The second greatest hindrance to our receiving from God is that often we simply do not ask God for the thing that we need. It would be amazing tonight if we could take a poll and find out how many people have had a chronic health situation in your life for a long, long time and you have never asked God to heal you. You may have prayed around it, about it, but can you say that specifically you've asked God to heal you? How many of you believe that God knows what you need tonight? Do you believe He knows what you need before you even ask Him? How many believe that tonight? If He doesn't know that, He's not God. He knows what we need. He knows before we ask Him. In fact, Jesus said in Mark 6 and 8, be not ye therefore like unto them the Pharisees, for your Father knoweth. Everybody say, God knows. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. But I submit to you tonight that God will not do for you what you will not ask Him to do. He will give the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. You have got to ask for what you want from God. Is it reasonable for us to expect that God will supply our needs? I say yes. In fact, in Ephesians 3 and 20, and I've alluded to it several times, but I'm coming back to tell you where it's at now. Ephesians 3 and 20, it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So His ability to supply your needs is beyond your ability to ask or even think. You can't ask too largely. You can't ask something that God cannot do. So if He can do all these things, He knows what I need. He's able to do more than I can what? Ask. Everybody say ask. More than I can ask or think. So, I've made the statement that God will not do for you what you do not ask Him to do. Can I prove that? Before I do, I want to say this. Why does God want us to ask? James said, back to a scripture I used earlier, but emphasized a different part of it. You have not because... Did I get that right? You have not why? Because you ask not. There are people here tonight. God is simply waiting for you to ask Him for a particular need. And He's ready to do it. He's able. He's willing. But you've got to vote for it. Why is asking so important? I'm going to tell you why asking is important. And it makes a strong statement concerning the one to whom we are appealing. When I say to my dear friend, Brother Garrett, he told all of you what good friends we are. When I say to him, Brother Garrett, I'm in a desperate financial strait. Is there any way that you could loan me for a few days or months or years or whatever? $10,000. First of all, when I ask him that, I am acknowledging my belief that he has the ability to do that. Not only that, I'm acknowledging that I have a need that I cannot take care of myself. I'm admitting I have this serious need. I'm not able to take care of it, but you're my friend, and I believe that you can help me if you want to. That's a compliment. We all get hit up as preachers. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Howard, can I borrow $100? And I said, well, I don't have $100 to loan you, but I appreciate the compliment. There's something about asking God that pulls on his father heart. My little 3-year-old granddaughter said to me just a few days ago, they live in our guest quarters, and for right now, temporary situation, son-in-law's not able to work right now. And she told her mom, said, I need to go see Poppy a minute. I need to ask him something. So she marches out, and here she comes. It's more than 100 yards over my house. And she came in through the garage, come in the living room, came in there where I was, said, Poppy, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, Mallory, what do you need? What do you want? She said, Poppy, she said, I want you to buy me a four-wheeler. A little pink four-wheeler. I have 9 grandchildren. I'm sitting here. I want to give her that so bad I can't hardly stand it. That's my youngest one, probably the last one. And she's got me right here around her little finger. And she knows she does. She knows how to exploit my weakness. So I'm sitting here thinking, how much would 9 four-wheelers cost? And I'm calculating in my mind. I guess I could cash in my retirement or something. To give this little child a pink four-wheeler. Well, her mama said to her, well, Mallory, you've got this little Jeep, little battery-operated Jeep, you know, Barbie Jeep. She said, you can ride that. She said, but I want one of them that's got a button you can push on it. It goes real fast. Y'all pray for me. I'm telling you, when she said, it's still eating on me. I've actually drove by the pink four-wheeler several times. I haven't had the nerve to stop. I'm still trying to figure out how I can pull this off without having to buy 9 four-wheelers. I am. I'm serious. She'll probably get it eventually. I've just got to figure out how to do it yet. Let me ask you something. Do you not realize that when you approach your Creator, your Savior, the one that loved you so much that he died for you, and you ask him to do something not only that he can do, but he wants to do it, that it's his pleasure to give it to you. But he's waiting on you to ask. Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Is there anyone here tonight that believes the word of God enough to ask him? To ask him to do something that you need done in your life tonight. God is able. God is willing. He's simply waiting for us to ask in his name in faith, believing. Oh, let's love the Lord together for just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't anybody misunderstand tonight. Some of you are wondering, why didn't I go ahead and pray for everybody when emotions were high? Because emotions is not what gets the job done. It's simple faith in God. Simple faith in God. That's what gets the job done. And I know this is not equally dividing this congregation, but I'm standing right here in front of this aisle right here. And everyone to my right, in a moment I'm going to ask you to help me with something. And in a moment I'm going to ask everybody to my left to help me with something. And here's what I want you to help me with. I just want to reestablish firmly in our minds once and for all that God is able and God is willing. And when I point at this side of the building, I want you to shout with faith, with passion, God is able. And when I point to this side of the building, I want you to shout with equal passion and faith, God is willing. God is able. God is willing. God is able. All right, let's try it now. Everyone together. God is able. Again. God is willing. Do you believe that? The proper response
Because God is able if God is willing. Praise God. It's hard to see. Is that Brother Vince Kelly right back here? Is that you, Brother Kelly? It was just what? About 3 years ago? That you really got desperate before God for your healing? What was that about? What was the miracle? Debilitating back pain. As I remember the story, you reached a point where you just said, God, say it. What was it you said to God? And you had that problem for years, isn't that correct? And he reached a point where he said, God, I believe you can heal me, and you're going to heal me. And God healed his back that night, and he's still healed. God is able. God is able. Isn't that simple? Now all we got to do is ask him. Praise God. Healing's in this house right now. How do I know that? Because Jesus is a healer and he's in the house. Praise God. I know this is going to be almost overwhelming because I can sense it. I can feel it. And y'all are going to have to work with me. I've prayed about this. I've sought God about this. Several places I've been, there's been large groups of people that wanted healing. And when you just say, everybody that's a preacher, lay hands on the sick, you can create spiritual confusion. A lot of times you've got juniors trying to take spiritual authority over seniors. You got always in a crowd like this a few folks that you don't want laying hands on people because such as they have, they will give unto you. And this is very serious to me. It's very serious to me. And I feel like God has given me a methodology to use in a situation like this. And that is, and this is not excluding anybody. This is not a condemnation of any man of God that's here tonight. But I just feel in settings like this, using men of God that we all know and respect is a safe way to do it. And if Elder Martin feels good about all you guys being on the platform, then I feel good about you being up here. Is that all right, Elder? That's the way I feel like we need to do it. And if you brethren would you just come down here and stand across the front right now. Praise God. I do not wish to seem presumptuous. I'm simply trying to deliver what God gave me to deliver, and I'm trying to obey what I feel like God wants me to do. And God anointed me to preach this tonight. And God wants to confirm his word here tonight. There's way, way, way more people here that needs prayer than I could pray for if I prayed all night for you. And I'll tell you another thing that needs to be avoided. If you're thinking tonight, if Brother Howard would pray for me, I'll get my healing. You're putting your faith in the wrong person. Your faith should be in Jesus Christ. By what power was this man healed? Through faith in the name of Jesus. These are all men of God. Men of reputation. And if you will come and ask for healing tonight. Or deliverance. Or any other special need that you have. Any one of these men that lay hands on you and pray for you. God will honor his word. And I'm going to do one thing. I know you might, I'm going to quit apologizing. I'm just going to do what I feel like doing. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to anoint every one of these men.
And then they're going to lay their hands on you. We don't have enough oil opportunity for everybody to know it with oil. There's two ways that God works in that area anyway. There's gifts of healing. And I believe gifts of healing are going to start operating in this place tonight. But I'm going to anoint each one of these men and ask God to take the faith and the anointing and the desire that He has placed upon me for this service tonight and to transfer it to every one of these men. And that anointing is going to come into this building, not only on them, but on this congregation. And I need the congregation praying with me while I anoint these men. And that the Spirit of God is going to move through here and confirm His Word tonight. How many of you believe the Lord's going to confirm His Word tonight? Be patient with me just a few more minutes, and then we're going to invite you to come forward to be prayed for and healed.